This episode is sponsored by Fraport USA. With its focus on building better airports and better communities, Fraport USA brings a depth of experience, passion, and innovation to elevate the passenger experience with the best mix of brands and an emphasis on local and ACDB participation to create a sense of place. Check out Fraport USA's latest inspirations in Baltimore, Washington, Cleveland Hopkins, Pittsburgh, JFK Terminal 5, and coming soon, Nashville International. Read more about their award-winning programs at fraportusa.com. This is episode 13 of the Airport Experience News Podcast. My name is Ramon Lowe, and I'm the publisher of Airport Experience News. As always, don't forget to subscribe. This way you'll get the latest episodes as we post them, as well as access to our growing library of content. So in this episode, I speak with Christina Kasotis, the CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, which oversees Pittsburgh International. And for those of you who have been in this industry since at least 2004 or so, I'm sure you're very aware of what happened with Pittsburgh and U.S. Airways. In fact, it's the de-hubbing of Pittsburgh and where the airport stands today. That's the reason why I decided to have this conversation with Christina because, well, during her tenure, the airport has seen many, many significant wins in terms of air service. I guess it's kind of safe to say that recovery has been well underway. Anyway, she and I chat about the coalition building and the mindset changing that had to occur in order to get things pointed in the proper direction. So here is my conversation with Christina Kasotis. So I'm here with Christina Kasotis, the CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, which oversees Pittsburgh International Airport. Christina, thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Always a pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So I hope you're doing well, and really judging by how Pittsburgh is doing, I guess it's really easy to say that you are doing really well. And really the reason why I do this podcast is multifold, if that's even a word. But let's just assume that multifold is a word.
Okay.
There are many reasons why I want to do this, this podcast. You know, I want to spotlight some of the great and innovative things that people and companies are doing. I want to look forward at things that are not yet in the space, but pretty much prevalent and impactful everywhere else. I want to speak to people like you, you know, people who are challenging the status quo or kind of changing the narrative. And ultimately and selfishly, I want to learn more. I mean, 13 years in, I'm still learning more about this industry every day. So I wanted to have you on specifically because obviously Pitt has had a very sharp turnaround during your tenure. So my interest really is in hearing the stories behind what it takes and what it took to really gather a community, an organization, et cetera, point them towards a common goal, which in this case is air service. So my first question is, not speaking of your ill of your predecessors or anything like that, but why is it working now? Was it simply a leadership change? Is it supply and demand? Was it the economy, you know, or is it the sum of those things and more?
Oh, I think it's a fair question. I would say that and with all due respect to the previous leadership team, I think they did exactly what they needed to do when the hub left in 2004. They cut costs, they figured out how to keep the lights on and how to operate essentially a hub that had been de-hubbed and left to be an O&D market. That had a huge impact on the facility and on the community. And so they hunkered down. And they made sure that they could cover costs and keep this entire campus, this very large airfield and airport, operational for passengers and for airlines. What I'd say the difference is between then and now is that, you know, the industry changed, technology changed. We have aircraft that allow for markets to be served that couldn't be served before. So longer, thinner routes now make sense with a 787 and some of the newer generation aircraft. And the city got, or the region got its collective act together after the collapse of steel. And while in the 80s, this whole community came together and said, we need a long-term strategy to diversify the economy, that started to really come together post-hub, right? So I'd say that a whole lot of fact, and a new management team came in, which I lead, and we came in with a very aggressive, proactive approach to business development, to the airlines. So it's just a whole different way of doing business in a new market and what I would consider to be a changed industry. And I'd say that that's really been the secret to the success has been to I always call my job the art of assembly, right? To assemble the things here in a way that the industry understands and meets the market demands.
I mean, I would say so. I mean, just pulling some items from your website, you know, 30 consecutive months of passenger growth, a 31% drop in cost per plane passenger from, I guess, from 2011 to now in 2000, or what's budgeted for 2019. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, some of those things that you were mentioning that kind of contributed to the revival of Pittsburgh, if I may say that, has resulted in those kind of two facts that I've mentioned, correct?
Yeah, right. So you bring, we're a residual airport. So the more passengers in here, the lower cost per plane passenger, right? I mean, it just, because your denominator gets a lot bigger. So what we are really focused on is figuring out exactly which markets can be sustained in the long run, which airlines are the right partners for which markets, and then how to go after them and then support them so that they are and stay successful. And a lot of that, from our perspective, is in being really, really tied closely to the community, its needs, from a forward look, not from a backward look. Because, you know, we all have the same data. The airlines, the airports, we're all looking at the same numbers. And every single one of them is a look in the rearview mirror. So what we're looking at as we see passengers increase and costs drop is, you know, the passengers are increasing because the air service is meeting the needs of the community. People weren't flying because they couldn't get anywhere nonstop, and connections became a problem. So my sense was, the minute I walked in here and started on day one, I just said, look, we are dramatically underserved. When you bring the service in that people want, they will fly it. And that's what's happened. Many months, Ramon, during those 30 of growth, we have seen passenger growth outstrip new seat growth. In other words, it's a disproportionate share, right, of passenger growth relative to the seat growth, which is like, oh my God, the service is here, I'm getting on. So we're in our second year of excess of 8% passenger growth. And, you know, that's making a big difference in our cost structure and in our ability to continue to attract even more service.
So internally, I think you and I had spoken about this before, but internally, we all know there was a certain narrative about Pittsburgh International, post US Air, et cetera. And I'm sure that's one of the first things that you had to change. But I mean, internally within the organization, was there a mindset change needed within the staff? You said some of the key leadership had changed when you came in, but did that mindset have to evolve within the community? Because I'm sure people were saying, well, we got dehubbed, I guess we're gonna have to keep going and doing whatever we can do. But maybe there wasn't a forward-looking or maybe positive approach to something else. And I shouldn't say positive as if it was negative, but maybe it did require a mindset change, correct?
Right, right. Yeah, you have to get people to believe in hope again, and you have to get people to be hopeful that there is the possibility of a different story being told about your community. So you're exactly right. Two points that are incredibly important. One, I walked into a fairly demoralized team. That had just didn't see how things were going to change. And I walked into a community that was asking really fundamentally, is this the new reality we have to accept? Or is there anything else that we can do where this airport can once again be a vital part of the community? So that's what I walked into. And my feeling right from the beginning was this is a diamond in the rough. This is an unpolished gem. There is everything that this community needs in order to succeed is possible because it's here already. I don't have to create any of that. I don't have to create an engaged business community. I don't have to create a tourism authority that understands the importance of the airport. I don't have to create people who care about what happens to the airport in the community. What I did have to do was dramatically shift the expectations, because the reason everybody was feeling so discouraged is because they couldn't understand where the next hub was coming from, who the carrier was going to be that was going to save them. And I came in and said, oh, that's not going to happen. you know, collective gas. I said, no, no, no. The opposite of a hub is not a hub. The opposite of a hub is an origin and destination market. And by the way, those are really possible and very successful throughout the U.S. Look at San Diego.
Yeah.
Look at Boston. Look at Portland, Oregon, right? These are primarily O&D markets. Let's redefine success. Success is not another hub carrier comes in and puts a, you know, 100 daily destinations on the map. Success is that we diversify our carrier mix. We bring in carriers and serve markets that the community, the O&D community of Pittsburgh needs. And that shift, that's when people got on board with that and understood that there's a new definition of success and we can meet it. Ta-da, right? And we had a number, we were very, very focused on momentum, on early wins, on celebrating success in a really big way and setting very, very large aspirational goals.
Again, I'm not speaking ill of anyone. I don't intend to, but it's, I'm a little confused as why, all right, you de-hubbed, I get it, but it was the, up until maybe you came on board or whatever, was the direction or plan to continue to try to be hub?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that one of the things that I find fascinating is how few airport CEOs really understand air service. Mm-hmm. Really understand airline business models and the competitive global nature of getting new airline service in. And you know what? If you're JFK and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, you know, God bless you, because you never have to worry about that. Everybody's always going to want to come to New York, right? I mean, if when Kenya Airways says, okay, we're going to fly to the U.S., there's no question they're going to New York. Everybody goes to New York first from an international perspective. But when you're a mid-sized market and you're fighting to create an identity on an international stage, you really have to distinguish yourself and you really have to believe that you can deliver something extraordinary and keep delivering that over time. And I think you also have to believe that when you're talking to domestic carriers about what your market can do for them. So, yeah, I think that there had been a sense that this airport was built to be a hub. It deserves to be a hub, and we need to find the next airline that's going to come in. And over time, it just was really clear that that's not the way the industry was going to work anymore. So there was a sense of, well, now what do we do? That's what I walked into was, okay, well, now what? And I said, oh, this is easy. Are you guys kidding? Look, it's all right here. Let's go be a phenomenal O&D market. And you know, once everybody understands that's the direction, you show them what's possible. You start to chalk up some early wins. The community starts to respond in a really positive way by saying, wow, what a difference. You know, you got a mission and a vision that people can buy into.
So in your opinion, what was the greater challenge, convincing the community or internally or convincing the air carriers?
I would say that they both came loaded with challenges, but probably the airlines, honestly, the airlines, the community believed me because I was at least offering some hope, right? They believed that this was possible, but no, it's definitely been the airlines. There's no question. Like, you know, you got to remember U.S. Airways. And you know this, U.S. Airways, there are a lot of people worked at that airline. And those people, you know this, when you got jet fuel in your blood, you stay in the industry. Those people are all over other airlines. You've got to really understand that there are a lot of people with a pretty negative view of Pittsburgh that you've got to get to and start to demonstrate that the world's changed, right? And that the world in Pittsburgh has changed. And you've got to cut through the noise of every other community that's trying to get in there to say, pick me. So I would say that the airlines have been the bigger challenge. But as we, again, get more momentum, it's getting easier. And there's a marked difference in the conversations that we're having today versus the ones we had, you know, when I got here almost 4 years ago.
I was going to actually follow up with that. You know, what are the conversations or the tenor of the conversations now versus when you first approached a carrier about, you know, Route X?
So I would say that when I first got here, there was a lot of, I really, because, you know, I've been around the industry for a long time, and I had a lot of airline executives look at me and say, what are you doing in Pittsburgh? And that's actually a wonderful opening, right? Because I have completely fallen in love with this city and this region. I love Pittsburgh. I love its history. I love learning about it. I love its role in U.S. history and global history. Like, I really feel like I feel lucky to be here. So I believe that. And I can talk about it from that perspective, about what I'm learning, about the sort of, as I call it, the punching way above their weight on arts and culture, right? A city of champions from a sports perspective, but also its role in World War II history, which I'm particularly fascinated by. So I just, like, I can see that this community has understood what it means to be a leader on a world stage. And it's in their bones. It's in their grit. And so to bring them back to that, or be part of, I want to be clear, be part of getting the community back onto that stage, that's not just me. That's a whole bunch of other people, including, by the way, Carnegie Mellon, which is spinning out these amazing researchers and folks who people like, or companies like Uber and Facebook and Google want access to. So what you realize is the story's getting told by way more than us. And all we have to do is gather that stuff together and say, look, I mean, hello, we're ground zero testing for driverless cars in the whole country.
So it's in Pittsburgh. You're part of the Berg now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally part of the Berg, but I'm also really aware of the third parties that are endorsing us. And so the conversation when I first got here was, trust me, there's a lot going on. The conversation now is, here's the list. I mean, it just keeps growing, right? So it gets easier to talk about. Plus, we just had so much more success as an organization. And a lot of what we're doing to support air service goes into what I would call sweating the asset in a way that airlines love to hear. Increasing revenue, cutting costs, and increasing efficiency. They say to us, we love how you talk. Right? We are looking at things like building our own microgrid to lower the cost of energy for ourselves and anybody who wants to develop on the airport. We don't have to do that. Nobody from downtown is saying, please find ways to look like the world's best business partner. They're just saying, bring in more flights. Right? So understanding how the airlines perceive airports in general, a little bit like they kind of look at us like we're the dark side. Like, they have to endure. So if we can actually show up and be a good business partner, like a great business partner, it's amazing how they respond to that.
So what makes this interesting for me is you're talking about partnerships, your role, the airport that is within the community. You know, talk about the Pittsburgh Regional Travel Cooperative and the airport's role or partnership with it. I'm fairly certain that there are other cities and airports that have these types of partnerships. Sure. What makes this one particularly effective, and honestly, what could have made it ineffective?
Well, ineffective is when you talk the talk and you don't walk the walk, right? Ineffective is, you know, yeah, sure, we all want to see a new flight to London, but nobody shows up and actually does the work to help bring it in. The Pittsburgh Regional Travel Cooperative, we are very much leading that. And we see this as an opportunity for major parts of this community to show up and have a voice in the markets we're going after and helping us get them. So we don't bring a big delegation over for headquarter meetings with airlines. We don't bring our chamber and our visitors bureau. But what we do is make sure that when it's time for them to get engaged, that we do that in really creative ways. For example, we hosted an event at the brand new U.S. Embassy in London. We were one of the first events over there. That was paid for by the cooperative, right? It was promoting Pittsburgh, but it was also promoting the idea of why it would be important to have a new nonstop flight. So we had a number of folks who work for Pittsburgh-based companies in the U.K. show up. Mm-hmm. Along with travel writers and tourism, tour operators. And we talked about Pittsburgh and we introduced Pittsburgh. We can't pay for that by ourselves. Yeah. And we want to do that jointly with the cooperative. So that's a number of Convention and Visitors Bureau, namely led by the Pittsburgh CVB, and Craig Davis, who leads that, is a phenomenal partner with us. And he's actually brought in a number of other regional CVBs like Butler County, which you think, okay, what's the big deal? Well, that's where the Jeep was invented. and it's this wonderful rural countryside that people love hearing about. And then there's Laurel Highlands, and there's all sorts of other folks who join us. And then we work closely with our business community, the Tech Council, and the Allegheny Conference on Community Development to also highlight sort of inward investment opportunities, et cetera. So what I'd say is what makes it unique, I mean, I don't know what everybody else's is, but it works for us, and I feel like we're really strategic in how we work through the cooperative.
Was it challenging? Was it sort of like in the early days, kind of like herding cats, where you know you're one part of this wheel, and you're a coalition builder basically, in your position. So was it difficult in early stages?
No, not. I mean, listen, Craig, I'm telling you, Visit Pittsburgh was like, listen, wherever you're going, we're right there with you, because they had actually dropped off of the international scene. They weren't going to ITB or Powwow or any of these international conferences anymore because there was nothing to sell except a seasonal flight to Paris, right? So no, I would say that there hasn't been any pushback. It was easy, actually. We brought some big players with us to the Roots conferences so that they could understand. We look at it as twofold, to let the community and key opinion leaders in the community understand how global the competition is, right? Why it's important that we're out there developing business, staying proactive, on the road, so that we're not going to be subject to people sniping about, oh yeah, you know, they're out traveling again. Yeah, good luck not doing that. I mean, we tried it, or they tried it here for 15 years. It didn't work. So for people to understand, you go to a Roots conference, you know, in Durban or Chengdu, you get it really fast. Oh my God, everybody's trying to go after that plane, right? Wow. So no, it wasn't tough.
My next question is, I was on your site. I saw the video. I actually watched the whole thing. I really want to focus on the coordinated efforts in gaining a route to a destination like China. You mentioned China earlier, you know, and I watched that video, basically recounted the experience of bringing 300 plus Chinese tourists. And
yeah. Think about that. Yeah.
No, you know what? According to the video, they seem to have a really great time. So that's all that matters. But for me, again, I'm looking at the effort and the scale of having to coordinate like this. Never mind that the destination is Pittsburgh or wherever, whatever else. But what was it like to orchestrate such a massive undertaking? You had police escorts, chartered buses, guided tours, et cetera. I mean, I imagine that this is obviously important because you're auditioning of sorts, you know, for the airport.
Yeah. So first of all, it was a massive undertaking, and it really required very close coordination with all of our partners. Again, Convention and Visitors Bureau you've got to make sure that the hotels that these folks are going to stay in are going to know how to deal with Chinese tourists. We had a grant. There was a grant by the Richard King Mellon Foundation that paid for training, cultural training, for hospitality, restaurant, and retail workers in Pittsburgh. Think about that.
That's how the
community stepped up, okay? The community stepped up. So not only did Craig's group help us identify the hotels and the level of sort of hotels at different price points that the tour operator wanted us, we toured those hotels, they did, right, made sure that they were going to be friendly and accommodating to the Chinese visitor, which is a lot different than being accommodating to a visitor from Ohio. It just is, right? And so we wanted to make sure that at every stage, we looked like we were ready for prime time, and we looked like the kind of place that people would say, I felt so lucky to go there. It was a massive undertaking. It took 2 years to get to get those flights in, with the idea being that these charter flights, this charter program, will grow over time and someday will lead to scheduled service. And what I mean by someday is 5 years faster than it would have led to scheduled service. It could still be another 7, 10 years out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the goal here is How do we put Pittsburgh on the map in China? How do we build relationships with the Chinese? And basically, how do we create a market from scratch? And to me, the only market in the world you can do that with is China, because it's got a whole lot of new folks who want to get on airplanes, and it's got a whole lot of people who are looking for experiences that happen to fit with what Pittsburgh has to offer. Natural access to nature and outdoors, arts and culture, great restaurants. And, oh, by the way, 2 days later, you get on a bus and you go to either Washington or New York. So we're really well suited geographically. And we had to make sure that every, I mean, we had police escorts for those buses. That was a big deal. You know, it was, and we took those guys off airside. It was an amazing effort among the airport team, as well as our partners in the community, to get ready for that.
Well, I don't know if it was creative editing or what, but they seemed to genuinely have a great time, and it went very smoothly.
Well, but you know, we made sure of that. We made sure we worked really closely with that tour operator, with Kajsa. They came over a number of times to vet the places that the visitors would see. The weather was just a gift. It was really good weather while they were here. And we made sure that at the airport we had signage, we had hot water stations, we just made sure that we were as welcoming as possible. And it worked. It was a very exciting time for us when those planes landed.
So I'm assuming this is also another added benefit is it's a dry run or a kind of a rehearsal for when you have to do this again for another route.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I mean, this was a big 777, 14 hours of flying. It was good for us to, you know, there are a lot of people here who remember this airfield being so busy you couldn't cross it without having to wait. So it was really nice to see people understand that, you know, this is possible. We can build, and people can come here and discover something that they didn't think they knew they wanted to do. I mean, Pittsburgh is just, it's full of surprises, and it was great to see Chinese travelers really enjoy the market and the experience.
So what was the feeling from your staff? Because I'm sure they haven't gone through something like this before, and they see how positive and how well it ran. They're like, okay, what's the next one? Let's do it again.
Yeah, a lot of pride. I mean, I was really struck. We had a number of our skilled trades help out with baggage, and to see, you know, really, really big guys, right, in bright yellow jackets, sort of very delicately handling luggage for, some sweet old Chinese tourist. You could just see the pride in people's faces and people. I got a couple of emails from folks saying that this was just one of the most exciting days they'd been part of at the airport, people who'd been here for 20, 30 years. So, I mean, it felt like a moment, and I think people really felt like they were part of something big. We do a lot of work communicating, making sure that people know not only what we're doing, but why. And so people knew that they were part of a global exchange and part of really positioning Pittsburgh to a brand new market that was going to matter how they acted and interacted with folks. And it was just, I would say that there was a tremendous sense of pride.
This is just, this is one of the questions I was thinking about asking, but just, I'm more curious. Is there a comp for Pittsburgh out there? Another airport that maybe you're following that I know you mentioned like Portland, et cetera. For me, I don't know why I'm thinking Austin, but for whatever reason, I see Pittsburgh on the same trajectory. Is that accurate or?
No, I would say that, you know, I've been fascinated with Birmingham in the UK. Mm-hmm. They were a client of mine and sort of at the same level of passengers when I started working with them as a consultant, and now they're up to, I think, 13 million. They've done some amazing things from an air service perspective, been very creative from a marketing business development perspective. So I followed, you know, I certainly took learning from every airport that I ever worked with or observed as a consultant. But at this point, it's way bigger than me, and it's way bigger than what we're comparing ourselves. It's really, or to other airports, it's so much more about what's possible that maybe nobody else has done before. So, yeah, we have some. We definitely have some benchmarks for sort of certain areas, right? I love how Schiphol looks at IT and concessions. I think that there are some amazing things that Heathrow's been able to do with facilities, but no one airport.
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking more domestically, but it's interesting that you're looking abroad as far as almost a quasi model to almost follow or to, you know, to pattern
out. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, in the U.S., I just have enormous respect for everything that Joe Lupano has done in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And how he's been able to get it done. You know, he has a similar background to mine. We're not the ops and facilities guys. We're not ex-military. and I've always been a fan of John Martin's leadership at SFO and what they've been able to do. So I think that there are definitely, of course, there are folks and places in the U.S. that we look to. But, you know, and we all know this. It's all a question of how do you bring it into your community and your market to make it really work. So I think there's inspiration worldwide and certainly plenty of it here in the U.S.
Perfect. So my last question for you is, you know, was there a route win that you felt in the first domino to fall that kind of triggered the momentum? And what was that like?
Oh, wow. I so see this as just stacking, right? I mean, Alaska was huge for us getting Seattle. It was unbelievable to have WOW and Condor announced within the same week. BA has just been like, yippee. But believe me, so was the second daily to San Francisco. I mean, you know, we are so focused on this market, but the nuances within the market and the submarkets. So big wins are when somebody in the community, a group in the community feels like, wow, you just took care of us. Having Spirit come in, Allegiant Basis Aircraft here, Frontier come in the way that they did. I mean, you know, they kind of go in and out, but they're still here. Having Southwest do the growth that it's done, and of course, I'd love to see that go faster. But and then the network carriers, American, United, and Delta, sort of upgrading equipment and aircraft and flights and frequencies. Like every single one of those is a huge deal for us. No single one, because every single one of them matters.
It's like choosing your favorite child. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, you know, like you look at our EAS routes, and credit to the team, because this was done before I got here. But there were a number of Pennsylvania EAS markets that were flying to Baltimore and Cleveland. So getting those guys coming to Pittsburgh, that's a big deal for the state. You know what I mean? There are people within Pennsylvania that are like, yeah, why wouldn't we be going to Pittsburgh? So I'd say that there's no, I mean, we work really hard to make sure that we're supporting the service that's here. We don't ever sort of sit back and say, okay, got that. Now let's move on to the next one. So I think you're always in that balancing act of how do you take care of what you have and how do you make sure you're going after everything else that the market needs?
Perfect. Well, that's all I have. Christina, I want to thank you once again. Wish you happy holidays. Thanks for taking the time to sit with me.
Okay. Well, thank you. Happy holidays. And I will look forward to seeing you at some point soon.